25 years worth of Sportsnet, and you were a part of this, Elliot. Memories, 93 to 90. Do you remember 93 to 97?
I do. As I get older, I forget some things, but I remember a lot of that. It was a great time. It was my big break into the business, my first quote unquote real job. I started, as a volunteer. I still remember my first paid shift a few weeks in, $80 to work 3 to 8 a.m. Good to see the pay hasn't changed in 20 years.
Elliot, I remember that. You were, I think, your first day or your second day, because I was at the Fan as well with you then. I think you were late, weren't you, for your first shift?
No, that is not true.
No, maybe yes, a more famous
were.
Incident.
Thanks a lot, you. Really.
Really, that is
way to go.
That
you're fired.
No.
You're late.
No, I was late, somewhat famously once, but you asked me to remember certain things. I was trying to bury that one. Now it's all coming back to me.
Hugh, really good prep by Hugh for the interview.
Yeah,
I thought to have that fact ready. That's not a fact.
No, it's true. It's true.
No,
he can deny it all he wants.
True. I remember early on that, it was 94 and I was covering the tennis. Andre Agassi won that year, and I remember doing you come on during the news and you do an update, hey, what's happening down the tennis? And you sit there, here's what's happening here, here's what's happening there, here's what's happening here on this court. And then I said, Andre Agassi played earlier today and he won in straight sets instead of straight sets. And you're young and you're new, and they start laughing on the air, and you're horrified. Oh my God, I'm going to get fired. And I remember going back to the office, and I was worried. They were going to give me my walking papers, and they were all laughing. And Jim Richards was there at the time, he had his blooper reel, and he went crazy with that one. So it was good to know that people at the station had a sense of humor.
Now, you guys go, 94 is always I wish we had an audio of probably some of the shows in the fall of 94. You get no baseball, not that the Jays were, I know they were two-time defending champs, but bottom line, there's no playoffs, there's no World Series, and then there's no hockey for November, December, and most of January. How do you fill the time? And no Raptors at that point in time either. They hadn't come into the league yet.
No, I remember at the time they were comparing it to having a music station and not being allowed to play like Sony Records and name another big music company.
A&M.
Yeah. It was like that's what they compared it to, running a music show, a music station without having your two biggest labels and being able to play them. It was hard. I remember I wasn't there for the glory days, really. That was before my time. I remember the numbers really dropped. I remember we had a book that came out, and I think our numbers were like 2.2. And the people at the time saying, we've got one or two more books to sort this out. And if not, we might have to change format.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
Yes. And I also remember them saying, if this fails, nobody in Toronto was ever going to do sports radio again. And thankfully, we turned it around and everybody stayed employed. But there were, Greg, there were some pretty gruesome days there, I remember, for a few months.
Let's turn our attention to hockey news yesterday. How do you have a captain's practice without a Matt Duchene? I'm sure they hope that over the summer everything would improve. That was a horrific season last year for the Avalanche. It doesn't look like it's starting out any better.
It's interesting. With Duchene, I think there were times I thought he got pretty close to being traded. Then Colorado pulled back. I know there was a conversation after July 1st last year where they told Duchene through his agent, Pat Brisson, that he should expect the possibility of coming back to Colorado next year and starting the year there. And, I think I get the sense there have been some, renewed efforts to try to trade him. I think Columbus is very much in there. I think that they were a team that very aggressively tried to close the deal right around the beginning of July last year and didn't do so. I know there are some teams who have felt that Colorado was being especially stubborn on what they wanted. I think the Avalanche look at it like, hey, you know, we made a deal with Ryan O'Reilly that didn't turn out as great as we hoped, and we have to make sure we get this right. And I know that Colorado's also been looking young. They've really wanted young players in exchange for Duchesne, guys that were controllable for a long time. You know, I haven't asked Carolina about it. But there have been rumors that they potentially talked maybe Justin Falk with Colorado. You know, they were concerned, about Duchesne only having two more years. But, you know, I don't think Colorado was that interested in Falk. They wanted a younger player like a Slavin who they're not going to deal. Carolina won't do that. Or a Hanifin, who I don't think Carolina want to do. But that's what I think Colorado was looking for. And I think you're seeing probably some renewed efforts right now for Colorado to make the deal. But I still think they look at it like we need to get what we want before we make this trade. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Avalanche have stepped up their efforts. Although, you know, people are wondering, does that mean Duchesne won't report if camp starts and he still hasn't been traded yet? I think that's too early to say. I don't know if I believe that's the case yet.
Elliot Friedman's our guest. Starting lineup, Braden Price, 740. Inside, of course, of the NHL and Sports and Hockey Night in Canada. So many rookie camps get going this weekend. Let me stick with the Avs. If they don't do anything, Elliot, they can't. I mean, I don't think they can be as universally bad as they were last year. They went from 82 to 48 points. Their 5-on-5 save percentage was always terrible, was the worst in the league. But I look at those four forwards and I think a lot of, you can't be 30th with a team with those four really good forwards. But Vancouver's going to be bad. Vegas won't be great. Detroit could be super bad. Colorado's bad. I mean, there's three teams that might give Vegas a run for their money for 30th. Are Colorado really one of them?
You know, I saw somebody told me that they had somebody pick New Jersey to finish dead last too, which kind of surprised me a bit. You know, I think there's the one thing about Colorado is how's the goalie going to be? As you know, that can single-handedly change everything. And they made a really interesting hire, a goalie coach from Finland, who's got some history with Varlamov. And I think, you know, they also made the decision to protect Varlamov in the expansion draft. And I think they've got a lot of faith in him. This is a guy who a couple of years ago was near the top in the Hart Trophy voting. You know, if he comes back and he has a big year, he could single-handedly make them better. I think the biggest thing is you look at their defense, and you know, you look at their roster, and there's not a lot of depth there. They've made a very interesting gamble in giving Jared Cowan a shot, and I think that's a good thing, the thing that Colorado should be doing. But last year, you know, Eric Johnson got hurt, and you know, Johnson may not be an all-world defenseman, but he's a horse. He gives you a lot of minutes, and they were really lost without him, and they're the kind of team that if they lose a Johnson or a Tyson Berry, it's going to ravage them. And I think that's the biggest question. You know, one, what do they get out of their goalie? And two, you know, what do they get out of their blue line?